You're listening to Second Breaks. I'm Lou Blazer.
But in terms of my desire to do things, to be inventive, to make it, it's the same as it's always been. And we get this thought that somehow we become older and it all goes away.
Yes.
The essence of who you are just somehow doesn't exist anymore. In most cases with stereotypes and stuff like that, I don't fault people, but I really want to say, are you out of your freaking mind?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that if you're an artist, if you're this, if this is important to you, if it means something to you, that this, if you aspire, that just goes away?
Exactly.
No!
You know, a lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about social media. Almost every day, I read something about how someone hates Instagram or Facebook, or how, you know, they hate what's happening to Twitter or X or whatever it is we're calling it now. And a lot of people really don't like LinkedIn. So I'm just going to say this about LinkedIn because, you know, I'm a LinkedIn gal. If not for LinkedIn, you know, Instagram to some degree, but really LinkedIn, I wouldn't meet new people. I am an introvert. So for an introvert, Enneagram type 5, LinkedIn has been my safe place for networking. I really don't go to quote unquote networking events, whatever that might look like these days, and definitely not since I left corporate America. So my networking really happens inside LinkedIn, you know, this podcast, and more inside Substack, which is the platform I use to publish my newsletter, We're All Getting Older. Now, I say all this as a preface because if not for LinkedIn, I wouldn't have met so many great and interesting people, one of which is my guest today. I am so happy to finally have Paul Long joining me here on the podcast. I met him through LinkedIn, like I said, some months ago. He and I tend to cover similar topics, and, you know, lots of people talk about similar topics, but I really like Paul's perspective on things. And he also, every now and again, says certain things that make me go, you know, and in fact, you're going to hear one of those in this conversation. A little bit about Paul. He is a former award-winning television journalist, an Emmy award-winning documentary producer, a writer, a director, and a globally recognized content creator for major corporations. In determining, quote unquote, what's next for him, Paul began a focused journey to discover a new way forward in his life that is ideal for him, that takes advantage of the new realities of longevity and the new phase of life he calls olderhood. This is a, you know, I hesitate to even call it an interview, although technically I was interviewing Paul. It's just a conversation between two kindred spirits, I think I can say that, about the things that really matter to us in this phase of our life, what it means to get older in this day and age, the stories that we tell ourselves, the stories we shouldn't be telling ourselves, to be honest, and what we should be telling ourselves and each other instead. You're going to hear Paul's position on many of the things that affect us, that are relevant to us. And, you know, as I told him towards the end, more of us really should hear his messages. So on the show notes, I put a link to all of the places where you can find Paul, you know, on YouTube, on LinkedIn, and on Substack to find his publication. And I encourage you to find him and connect with him. Okie dokie, let me step out of the way. Here is my conversation with Paul. One of the things that I know about you that I'm so fascinated to talk to you about is your, you know, career journey as I mentioned to you before I hit record, you are the very first person I am talking to who I've ever met who's actually has an Emmy trophy. But anyway, would you mind talking to us a little bit about your career journey? Because it seems to me from the outside looking in that you were able to transition from one role to the other. And it seems very easeful transitions. So could you talk to us a little bit about it, Paul?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you. I mean, at least I'm maybe making it look easy, but so yes, a real quick background around me. So I am a third generation journalist and storyteller. My grandfather started and ended his professional career in newspapers. He covered the Scopes Monkey Trial, which was that famous evolution teacher in Tennessee. My father was in radio news. He was in the Kennedy motorcade, and he was a vice president of news and a reporter and anchorman. And so I grew up in the business and used to hang out at the radio station. And so I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into news. I wanted to be a storyteller. I wanted to tell people things that would make their lives better. Plus, you know, it's the one job in the Constitution that isn't the government. That's freedom of the press to have an informed electorate. So I was in television news as a reporter and an anchor. And then when I made my next transition, I was even the weekend weather guy as I made the transition. But I had reached a point in my career where I thought news was going to heck. And that was back then. And I didn't want to go to network because Kim and I wanted to have a family. Mm. So because of where I was geographically, I discovered that there was a huge industry of making videos and things of that sort for major corporations. And in my case, the automotive sector. I made thousands of videos, creating, developing them, producing, writing, directing, all of that for almost all the major car companies in the world. Did business theater, car reveals, and things of that sort. You know, I was storytelling, just this time for clients. But then, you know, coming out of the recession, which was actually a depression in my business, our two sons were, you know, in high school, they were getting ready to leave. And Kim and I kept saying, now what, now what, now what, now what, what's next? And I realized that, you know, I needed to make a transition again, in fact, a transformation, because whereas I was almost felt like I was born to be in the news business and I loved my career until, again, just the way news became wasn't fitting with me. With this other career that I had, I'm grateful I had a lot of success in it. I was able to put food on the table and put two boys through college, debt-free, a lot of friends, a lot of cool stuff that I got to do, but I never should have done it.
That's
because it wasn't right for me. Yes, I was being a storyteller. Yes, it was something I could do, but that doesn't mean it was something I should have done that was truly right and aligned with me and what I wanted from life and what I wanted to do and how I wanted to be fulfilled and all of that. I never really felt 100% comfortable in it, although I'll have, you know, clients say it's like you were born for it, which I think is a really great lesson for us that, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do, but then the question is it right for you?
Yeah.
So I was looking at the fact that I'm entering, as I call it, my olderhood, this next phase of life. And I'm kind of like, you know, I need to transition, nay, transform to something else that is truly right for me. And I really got to thinking about it. This is like literally the opportunity of a lifetime because I'm older. I know more about myself and the world and about life. And this could be the most incredible opportunity for me to really figure out what it is I'm going to do with my life in total, as well as, you know, the thing I'm focusing on to be relevant and make a difference and, yes, earn an income that was truly right and fulfilling for me. And yeah, clock's ticking. I'm closer to the end than the beginning. So it's also kind of like, don't screw it up. So the beauty of it was that I both had the time and kind of out of necessity, I had the time because it took me a lot longer than I think it's going to take most people because I was so busy with the other things in life. But I took the time to really step back and really look into, do my homework about myself, about what was really important. Look at things from a different angle. You know, I didn't want the same thinking that got me into that situation in the first place. And so I really, really worked hard on it. That all is a story in and of itself. But trying to figure out, okay, what's my way forward in life that's right and ideal for me and fits my needs and requirements, and it's going to enable me to go out of this world going, yeah,
all right, you know,
this was great. In fact, my greatest fear in life is being on my deathbed with regret that I never went for and I never lived the life that was true for me and I never had the guts to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to do that. That's constructive fear. So anyway, that's how I ended up with New Way Forward. Because as a storyteller, you know, the thing I loved about being a newsman, the thing I learned from my father and my grandfather is the power and the joy from being able to inform people of things that they need to know.
Right.
And both independently of each other, you know, a decade apart, because my grandfather, my father unfortunately passed away when I was 15, but my grandfather was living and writing until he was 95, second time he was ever in a hospital in his life. They both told me the greatest story in the world to tell is a story that's happening right in front of people's eyes, and they don't understand the import of it. They haven't had the dots connected for them. And so as I'm trying to figure out what to do with my life, I'm discovering, holy cow, everybody's trying to do this. It's almost like this is what you were born for, you know, to
this
tell.
This is the story of this time, right?
This is it. And so I created, well, originally, it was Pro Boomer. I thought I was so smart. But by the way, I did it Ready, Fire, Aim, which is also a good approach. It's kind of an entrepreneur approach where like, you know, get a minimum viable product to put it out there and see if it really works and what people really want. And very quickly, I'm like, well, it ain't just boomers, you know, because a lot of people engaging with me were in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
COVID came along and accelerated. COVID accelerated a lot of things in our society that were already happening, work from home being one.
Yes.
But also people saying, wait a minute, there's more to life than what's on offer. Or I've been living the default life, doing what I should do and what I thought I was supposed to do, or my parents or society or the government or whatever I thought I should do. And so now, you know, what was the great resignation and quiet quitting and all of that has become the great rethink.
Mm-hmm.
And because I noticed when, even with Pro Boomer, I had a lot of people in their 30s and 40s that were engaging and following me
mm-hmm.
and wanting to know about it. And now that's the same thing. And so what I turned it into was, in the first place, hey, there's a new reality of longevity. You take mm-hmm. moderately good care of yourself. You have some purpose. You have a reason to get out of bed in the morning. You're relevant. You have a self-identity. You and I can live into our 90s.
Right.
Healthy, active, independent, relevant, and stuff. And our kids are going to live into their hundreds. It's a total redefinition. It's mm-hmm. an entirely new phase of life. So one thing was to bring awareness to that. And then the second thing, based on all I learned in my efforts to make my transition, pivot, whatever you want to call it, all that I learned, all that I tried, failed at, succeeded at, or saw hundreds of other people do it, or learning from people like you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm now also saying, okay, so, because that's what everybody asks me.
Yeah,
How did you do it?
Well, yeah.
How did you find this amazing life for yourself?
Right, yeah. Oh my goodness. You know, it's interesting to me that when you and your wife decided, okay, what's next? What's next? And you got to the point where you're thinking, you know, what I was doing before, that's probably not the best thing for me to continue doing, or I probably shouldn't even have been doing that. I was wondering, while you were doing it, though, while you were at the height of your career, were you thinking that?
Yes.
Oh, you were.
I mean, you know, I will, in an honest, constructive way, say that I have a fairly high self-examination quotient.
Okay.
Some would call it self-awareness, but that's so presumptuous, pretentious. And I just always
I like you, Paul. I just want to say that. I like you.
Thank you. I like you too. So I do appreciate that. No, I I never felt comfortable. I never felt right. So a lot of that's just kind of there and you kind of know it's there. But I was also so busy. And, you know, I was a world champion plate spinner. And I was just always, you know, doing that and everything. And then you're kind of on, you know, like a lot of us in life, man, we're on the life train and it's going 90 miles an hour and we're, you know, out on the edge of it, hanging onto the rail, trying not to fall off. And it's careening down the hill and the bridge is out, but you still hold on. I mean, really, that's not a bad characterization. And, you know, you got kids and you got college to pay for. And then, you know, that recession, that was a depression for me. I lost a year's worth of business in 3 weeks and it didn't come back for two. So, no, I you know, I did because I kept noticing I'm not comfortable doing this. Now, I stepped into an industry and I brought a whole different way of doing business because of my television background. Mm-hmm. It succeeded, but it didn't fit. You know, in essence, in obvious, I was doing something that seemed right for me, but deep down inside, it wasn't right for me. I wasn't aligned with it. So, you know, when I was wondering now what, and I'm like, this is a question I really have to answer. And this may be the most important answer for myself mm-hmm. as an individual that mm-hmm. I ever come up with in my life. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's worth the time and the effort and the challenging and sometimes the discomfort and everything else, the honest self-honesty. This nothing now at this point in my life is more important than coming up with a good answer.
Did it take you a while to find that answer?
Yes, it did, because, you know, for one thing, and you know, I want to say anybody listening to this, it doesn't have to take you as long as it took me to do it, because for one thing, I didn't have something like what I'm doing. There were only a couple of people out there that were dealing with this. Mm-hmm. It can happen like that.
Yeah.
Or it can take a while. But whatever the case is, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's worth it.
I asked because it took me forever. It took me years to figure out what I want. I mean, I was trying different things in the meantime, but it took me forever to figure out.
Yeah. And it's understandable. And I mean, look at it. You know, here's a way that the very first thing is that, okay, so in the first place, I don't care how old you are, or even your adult kids, if you're listening to this and have them, now's the time. Mm-hmm. Because I got to tell you, when I have shared this, like especially with some clients, you know, mm-hmm. when I was starting this as a side hustle, and it was only a year ago this past Monday that I had my reckoning of where I said, you know, within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start cutting ties with clients. It took me 8 months to get out from under projects and stuff like that. So I'm really just now about to fully launch my effort.
Right.
But when I would talk with younger clients in their 30s, great people, life is good, kids, careers, everything else. And they'd be, hey, Paul, what's this new way forward thing you're doing? And I would lay out this thing about an entirely different way to look at olderhood and an entirely different way to look at the world and such. Where I said, you know, retirement, okay, it's right for some people. I honor that. But what if you realize that at some point as you get older, I never use the OLD word, you know, as you get older, there's going to come a time when the shelf life runs out on what you're doing, even if you love it now, or circumstances change, or you're just ready for something else. And I said, but there's this opportunity where because you're older, as I mentioned earlier, you know more about yourself and the world, you're mm-hmm. at the perfect time to say, I really want my next phase of life, which may be one of several, by the way, you know, to be what's ideal for me, what I really, really want to do, what's fulfilling, what allow me to earn an income, whatever the conditions are that you decide. And it's all about me. It's all about me making that choice, not living the default life, not doing things just because I thought I was supposed to, not that those always go away. And whenever I share that with people, it's amazing because, you know, like some of them immediately say, oh my gosh, this changes the way I look at my life right now. Mm-hmm. And it certainly changes the way, because I say, yeah, by the way, this isn't about when you turn 65 or 60, or you get fired when you're 55 because right. you're too old. It could happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or it could happen 30 years from now. you know, who knows? But just the awareness of it. Or I have people say, that's very interesting. I'll think about that. And I see them a month later and they're like, I can't stop thinking about it. So my point being, there's no time, you know, the best time to do it and start thinking about it seriously is right now.
Right.
Because if you're in a good situation, if you're in an okay situation, or you've got the income that you have to have, you know, you can start it as a side hustle to start the path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this occurred to you or this happened to you, Paul, as you were beginning to talk to your friends about your next act or phase or thing to do, right? But because a few people have commented to me, oh, Lou, why don't you just enjoy life? Because when I told them that I was leaving my corporate career and I was thinking of doing something different, and they hear me talk about the different projects that I'm involved with, two or three people have said to me, why don't you just enjoy life? I know what they're trying to say is basically, don't be so busy anymore. Like, why are you still working? Oh. You know, why just relax? And then I always say, but I am enjoying my life. But I wanted to just ask you, what were your thoughts about this thing called retirement? Have you ever considered, ever, you know, 20, 30 years ago, whatever, just relaxing, retiring the traditional way, and just playing golf every day or whatever it is that people do when they're 100% retired?
Well, specifically to those who say, why don't you just enjoy life? I am enjoying life. This is how I enjoy life.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you know, I understand where they're coming from. And I wonder, okay, are they doing it? Okay, so this is me getting going on retirement, traditional retirement. Now, first of all, I want to say, I really do honor those. There are people for who traditional retirement is perfect. They are suited for it. It's ideal for them. I say that's great. Godspeed. But even if you think it is, I challenge you to challenge the assumption, the presumption, the mere notion people have about retirement. And if at the end of your challenging and really thinking it through, you're still for it, great. By the way, take that first 2 years and consider it a sabbatical, because here's what I learned when I looked into this. Now, I pretty much knew that I was not going to be enjoying life if I was playing golf and traveling and doing woodworking and not had and all of that kind of stuff. But here's what
you
I
knew
learned.
This even before.
Absolutely. I mean, no, I'm not going to. And by the way, it's like if I live to 95, I'm not sure I can afford it.
Right.
And most people in most countries can't.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, especially in the United States, people think, oh, Social Security. I mean, it's not, you've got to have a lot of money.
Right, right.
In order to maintain your current lifestyle and say, oh, I'll downsize. You know what? Downsizing isn't necessarily that much cheaper. Anyway, here's what I found out when I started just looking into this olderhood thing. And yeah, I did look at the retirement. And by the way, I was very blessed. I don't know if you know him, but Robert Laura, who's the president and founder of the Retirement Coaches Association, which is a bit of a misnomer because most of those coaches are not coaching you to follow traditional retirement. But he actually lives near me. He actually, he's internationally known. And he really he and other people in his sphere were able to feed me this. So here's what happens. In the first place, this ain't your granddaddy's retirement year.
Right.
And even going back to, you know, when retirement became possible for just about everybody, Social Security and such, you know, at age 62, well, you only typically had a year or two of life left.
This is the thing. Yeah.
Right. And because, you know, and it's not just healthcare. I mean, but, you know, a lot of people, tough manual labor, toxic work environments, all that other kind of stuff. But now, here again, you know, I fully intend to be doing this into my 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see. But I take moderately good care of myself, and I'm in better health than I was 20 years ago. So I started looking into what was happening with retirement, and I found this mega trend, and it's not a good one.
Did you say it's not a good thing?
It's this mega trend that I was learning is this, that people are retiring.
Okay.
They plan for their finances, but they haven't really thought through, what am I going to, it's a notion.
The retirement planning is just the financial piece.
Yes. And
right. Yeah.
And it's not, and it's like, what about the life half of it?
Yes.
And so what happens is we go through life and we plan and we imagine and we think things through and we strive for things. Oh, and then I'm going to retire. And then, you know, I'm going to travel, I'm going to play golf. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now, by the way, it's last time I'm going to say it, I honor those for who is right. I know some of those mm-hmm. people. They're happy as hell and I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that here's the characterization I've heard over and over and I've witnessed over and over again, is that for the first year or two, it's the retirement honeymoon. It's great. I don't have to go to work and I don't have to see so-and-so. I don't have to do this. I can do anything I want. And you start doing your bucket list. But then it's the retirement nightmare, because what is all too common is that, I mean, in the first place, what I found out was that the incidence of recent retirees of alcoholism, drug abuse, divorce.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes.
Depression, even suicide. And I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. Where did that come from? And then talking with people, it's like, okay, well, here's what happens. In the first place, we, like baby boomers, we rewrote the expectations of what it was to be of a certain age back in the 60s. When you think of the 60s, you think of sex, drugs, rock and roll, and social movements. But what really was behind that was that the socioeconomic, even technological conditions were such where youth were able to say, and by the way, that's what I won the documentary for, was a documentary kind of on this, was that the youth were saying, wait a minute, I'm going to decide what I want my life and my world to be like. And so deciding and reinventing what life was like, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, being engaged in trying to make the world a better place, civil rights, women's rights, gay and lesbian rights, the ecology movement, so on and so forth. They tore down the walls of convention. They killed off the gatekeepers. You know, closest thing to an entrepreneur in their 20s back in the 60s would have been a pot dealer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who came out of that? Sir Richard Branson,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Bezos, you know,
right.
Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, all of these people rewrote the book. So we are of a generation in which we're going to set the rules for how we want to live. And we want to make a difference in the world. And the following generations are following us and making it better
mm-hmm.
and taking it farther than we took it. So we're doing that. And so the point of just being able to be like our granddad and retire does not
appeal.
Doesn't work for a lot of us. We mm-hmm. want more out of ourselves and more of our life from it. And what I discovered is that a lot of people who retire after a while, they lose their identity. That's mm-hmm. number one, by the way. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. who am I anymore? Because I'm not relevant. And, you know, before I was this and I was doing this and I was striving and I was achieving. By the way, I lost that contrast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was wonderful to take a vacation because I was working. Now I can do it anytime and it doesn't mean anything anymore mm-hmm. to me. It doesn't have the value because there's no contrast to it. And I don't really have a purpose. You know, there's nothing I'm really passionate about except, you know, trying to make my golf game better, which is great. I'm trying to do the same thing. But see, if I go to the driving range, it's meaningful to me because I'm taking a break and I love it. If I could do it anytime I wanted to, it wouldn't mean anything.
It loses,
So you lose that reason, to oversimplify it, you lose that reason to get out of bed in the morning. It's not to say that you've got to start up a big company or do some radical change with you. I mean, I know two of the smartest guys in the world I know, friends of mine, in the first place, they don't need any money because they're that smart. But they are into so many things that they're learning and trying for and contributing to and everything else. And in some cases, it's you know, what's my new way? I was asking one of them and he said, my new way forward is this ad hoc mess of stuff that's really cool and I'm into and gets me out of bed in the morning and makes me excited. And with other people, I discovered that there were a lot of people who were, you know, got laid off probably because of age in their late 50s or mm-hmm. 60s or whatever. And they couldn't afford to retire.
Retire, yeah.
And they were forced to find something else. And, you know, there's case after case of people saying, you know, I really had to think about, you know, okay, I could do this because that's what I've done. And I couldn't bring myself to keep doing that. And so I figured out something else. And it's the greatest thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was forced into it. But I found something that was right for me. And so my bottom line, and thank you for letting me go through a soliloquy here. My bottom line is this is the opportunity to just really find a thing that's ideal for you and right. fits your lifestyle and your family.
Right. I, as you were telling your story, Paul, and your friend's story, I was reminded of a very good friend of mine who's the perfect example of somebody who's all set financially speaking to retire. He could literally afford to play golf every day and not do anything else. And he did it for 2 years and got bored very quickly after that. And so he's back doing something else. Like he's consulting, he's doing other things because he's like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. It's just, it's great for the first 2 years. And so in his case, it's not necessarily doing it for money, but he's doing it for mental sanity, for health, for, you know, for quality of life, for all that kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and to be relevant and make a contribution, to make a difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason to get up in the morning.
And have some responsibility, all of that.
Yes, yeah, all of
absolutely.
That. Hey, I am jumping in for a quick second to invite you to subscribe to We're All Getting Older, or WAGO for short. WAGO is a weekly publication about and for midlifers who are into getting better as we get older. Every Sunday, I send out a newsletter with one idea to explore and inspire action toward being the people that we've always wanted to be. I would love for you to join me in this endeavor, project, quest to continue to get better as we get older. You can check it out at lewblazer.com/newsletter or check the link in the show notes. Okie dokie, let's get back to the show. There was a word that you used that I'd love to get back to, olderhood. I wanted to just chat with you a little bit about this word. Why use this word? Why create a new word? Why not use the same words that we've heard over and over that, you know, some people have violent reactions against? But talk a little bit about olderhood and why that word.
Okay, so first of all, because I always try to work this in whenever I can, the word old, you know, I'm old.
Yes.
Well, okay. So a real quick exercise for anyone listening. I want you to note what you envision when I say he's old.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of? You think of somebody that's like in some form of decline, disabled, you know, whatever. Now, what do you think of when I say the word or say the sentence, she's older?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a couple of people say, well, I don't know. It depends on the person. Exactly. Okay. So in the first place, old is really kind of stereotyping negative word. So I use the word older. Okay. But the real answer to your question, the key answer to your question, is that when I realized that there really is an entirely new phase of life that has never existed before on planet Earth, although one could argue that the relevance of elders, you know, throughout history. But this new phase of life that I've been talking about, that, you know, instead of, you know, you have your youth and then your adulthood and then you retire and die. You know? No, it's like in your youth, yes, we learn, we absorb, we start figuring out life from walking to relationships to talking and being educated. In adulthood, you could almost look at as an apprenticeship in life, where you're applying what you've learned, what's real, what works, what doesn't. And then, as Stephen Pressfield would say, you reach a point where it's time to go pro. Because, again, you've got the experience and the knowledge about yourself and the world and such. And so I thought, there's this new phase of life. I mean, Stanford University Longevity Center called in hundreds of people, as you well know, from all sorts of different sectors and disciplines to come up with a new life map. I told you the old one. Mm-hmm. But this new one that you reach this olderhood state that can, I mean, you can be 50 years old and your life is only half over. Mm-hmm. And when I say life, I mean active, healthy, relevant life. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, people still think, well, you know, in my 70s, I'll be in a nursing home. 2% of people over the age of 80 are in a quote-unquote nursing mm-hmm. home. 2%. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's the choices that we make in terms of being relevant and active. So I felt like this phase of life needed a new term. And allegedly, I'm a wordsmith and a walking thesaurus, and yet I still struggle. I'm not 100% happy with it. But I kept it. It's not seniors. It's not retirement. It's not, you know, and I mean, Chip Connelly uses elderhood, and I understand what he did it, but I still hear elderly, you know.
I was going to ask you about that because I have heard elderhood, and I've heard some, you know, people over the age of 50 say, I don't mind being called an elder.
And that is an honorific title. Now, I grew up in the South. And I remember going to church as a kid, and the elders were a bunch of stuffy old people, too. So, I mean, there's a little bit of personal, you know. I mean, you want to talk church lady, you know, it's like, no. So I've got a bad association with the term.
Right.
But, you know, I felt like I needed to put a moniker on this new phase of life.
Yeah.
That's available and call it something. So you had childhood, adulthood, olderhood.
I like it, actually. The first time I saw you use it, I was like, And I just, it's sort of like a word that I sort of like, I tasted it a little bit, let it sort of like, you know, simmer for a little bit. But then it's grown on me. You probably know this about me if you've seen my posts on LinkedIn. I tend to challenge people's reactions to existing words. Like,
absolutely.
I tend to challenge, like, why do we have this violent reaction to the word old? You know, it's because of the images that we have in our, you know, that's there. But if we change those images, but I know it's difficult to change pre-existing narratives. But the term olderhood is, I'm loving it. I'm beginning to like, I might borrow it. You might start seeing it.
Proliferated. Please, it's not my word. I mean, I'm sure somebody else used it. Trademark.
Yeah. So it's great. But there are, unfortunately, people who do have that connotation about getting, you know, past 50, past 60, past 70. And some of them are those ages too. It's not just young people thinking this way about older people. It's some of us are this age thinking this way about us. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, but like, some of the most ageist people, and by the way, ageism goes both ways.
Yes.
You can be ageist toward young, but in terms of toward older people, some of the most ageist people in the world are those people who are the targets of it.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you talk to them when you hear these comments? Like the internalized ageism that comes out. How do you react? Do you try to change your minds? What do you do? Because I have a challenge. So I'm asking you.
I challenge it. And especially if it's a contemporary. I mean, I call people on it, you know, and I'm kind of like saying, you know, if you translated that into characterization of race or gender or something like that, would that be appropriate? And I said, you know what you're telling me? You're telling me I'm a living a lie. That would be my extreme because I'm not living that life.
Right.
And some of the characterizations and some of the things that I see as moving the needle, I mean, it's really, they are assumptions and presumptions and stereotypes that just aren't true. Mm-hmm. And I say to anyone of any age, someone else said it, and I don't know who, I looked it up, I can't find it. Is that when you're being ageist toward people who are older, you know, you're undermining your own future.
Yes.
Both in terms of society and business, as well as the way that you view your life. Mm-hmm. I say, and I don't have quantifiable proof of it, I think a lot of people get old because they think they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And
Wait. I like that. They get old because they think they're supposed to.
They assume that
they have this idea that by the time I get to 65, this is how it's supposed to be.
And I'm so supposed to be sick. I'm supposed to be sore. I'm supposed to not matter anymore. Not literally, but in so many ways.
Yeah.
So I've got two real quick characterizations. One that I've been using for a while and one I just hit on my recent birthday. So one characterization is that the way I view myself, 100%, well, in the first place, I cannot, this honest truth, I really cannot perceive myself as being anywhere close to my chronological age. Mm-hmm. I don't think this way. I don't feel this way. I don't perceive myself this way unless I look in the mirror.
Mm. Right.
Then I see it. What the hell happened? But
who is this person?
And so what I say is that I say, here's the way I regard myself. There's my chronological age. How many times I've been on this earth around the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's my health, which mm-hmm. my doctor, who I only see pretty much for something minor, typically an injury because I'm active and working out and play racquetball and stuff like that, who says, you know, my bio age is 20, 25 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
And says, I have patients younger than you that are vastly worse shape than you, self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. And then, but in terms of my desire to do things, to be inventive, to make it different, it's the same as it's always been. And we get this thought that somehow we become older and it all goes away.
Yes.
The essence of who you are just somehow doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. And that is the biggest. I mean, in most cases with stereotypes and stuff like that, I don't fault people, but I really want to say, are you out of your frigging mind?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that if you're an artist, if you're this, if this is important to you, if it means something to you to this, if you aspire, that just goes away?
Exactly.
No.
This is what I have a girlfriend who's still in corporate America. She's one of the most driven people I know. And she talks about retirement, like the time in her life, and she's going to relax. And I keep telling her, do you think your drive is going to disappear when you retire? It's not a vacation. It's not like taking a 2-week vacation where like, okay, I'm 2-week vacation on a cruise. The part of you who's ambitious, always driven, always, it is the same. Regardless of how old you are.
And what are you going to relax for 40 years?
Exactly.
Are you going to go on a 40-year vacation?
Exactly. This is it.
You know,
I'm totally in sync with you.
But even with me saying everything that I've said, so you've kind of got a sense of me at this point. But it was really interesting because a few weeks ago, I had my 68th birthday, mm-hmm. technically 68. And I woke up, and Kim and I are not really big on birthdays and stuff like that. I mean, I did, you know, we've got a card that it's the same card that we give each other for every birthday. You know? Happy birthday. Okay. What are you doing today? We're just not big on it. But the point is, I did wake up and I was still kind of like, wow, 68 birthdays? Are you kidding me? I mean, really, where'd the time go? And I don't perceive myself all this. And the strangest thing is that it's like, God, 10 years ago, I was 58. Now, that really hit me for some reason. I'm lying in bed. I'm doing my gratitude. I do that every morning before I take my head off the pillow. I'm kind of like, wow, 58, that's considered old. And that was 10 years ago. And then it hit me. It hit me that I am healthier than I was 10 years ago.
Oh my God.
I am more excited about what I'm doing with this new way forward thing than I was 10 years ago. I am feeling more fulfilled and relevant and aligned with what I want in my life than I was 10 years ago. Wait for it, 20 years ago. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not counting raising, you know, kids and the other stuff. I'm talking about me, inside of me. And I'm like, holy crap. Wait a minute. This is the opposite of what's supposed to happen. How is it that the older I get, the better my life than I get? Huh. Maybe we are on to something here.
I love that. I love hearing that. And I wish more and more people would hear that message, would hear your story, would hear that message, would read what you write. I just have to say this, Paul. Well, you already know that I like you because I told you before, but I'm saying
well,
this
and I like you too. Hey, by the way, for everybody, Lou's one of those people that when I read stuff that she writes, I kind of go, this is the ultimate compliment between writers and storytellers. And I'm kind of like, damn, why didn't I write that? So
thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. You have to say yes, but I'm going to ask anyway. You have to just come back. You just have to come back.
I'd love to. Are you kidding?
These conversations again. Because I want to have you as a regular voice on the podcast, because this is the kind of stuff that we all need to be hearing, regardless of our age, like you said, wherever we are in that life map, we have to just keep hearing this. So I would love for you to come back, but I want to be respectful of your time. So I just have two more questions.
I'm all yours.
I think the first question is sort of a good continuation from what you were talking about before, when you were saying how you feel like you're healthier now than you were compared to 10, 20 years ago. So the question is, like, how has your definition of joy evolved? Has it evolved for you as you got older? What gives you joy these days? Is it any different?
You know, that's a really good question. And in the first place, I'm still evolving on it. And I think that in the, for lack of a better term, let's call it the personal side of life, the non, what my effort is, or yeah. I hate to say profession, but what my effort is, I got to reconnect with that, to be honest with you, because after grinding for all of those years, I mean, often working 7 days a week and everything, I got to get reattached to that. And I really did with launching this endeavor. You know, I got to put a lot of time in it. Now, I live in, you know, the northern United States. So wintertime's is a really good time to do it. I'm doing that. But the joy, I mean, this brings me joy. This conversation with you brings me joy. Doing my thing that I chose, that I know is right for me, I mean, that really is joy. Because some of this stuff I don't like doing. You know, not your thing, but I mean, some of the back, yeah. I call it backroom stuff, yeah. Trying to figure out how to optimize on YouTube and all that stuff.
Yeah.
No. But, you know, but my joy quotient is miles higher than it was a year ago when I was still doing client work and doing something that wasn't right for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got joys from my kids and from my relationship and just, you know, incidental. But now it's just, I mean, it's the joy of feeling like I'm living and doing what is right for me to do.
Yes, yes.
And I love it. And it's mine. And it is fulfilling me in the ways that are right for me. Might not be right for you. Might not be right for this person over here or that person over there. That's the point. Only we as individuals can truly find the new way forward that's right for us. That's the whole point of it. So I'm living the joy right now. I'll make this really quick. When I was, you know, starting to figure out my new way forward in life, and I knew I had to look at it differently and think differently and kind of get really, I knew I had to get as basic and fundamental as I could to start. Mm-hmm. And so I really thought, how do I want to feel every morning when I wake up on this forward path of me? And so here were my things. These are all really basic. Like, talk about basic. Number one, I woke up. Kind of, you know, a good start. Number two, I feel great. My health is wonderful. I'm not on any medications. If I have any ailments, it's because I'm active and I played 2 hours of racquetball last night. Number three, I really love what I'm doing. I love the way my life is shaping up, both in terms of the personal side and the relationships and such, as well as how I'm asserting myself. Number four, I'm excited about the day and what I'm doing today. And number five, I am not worried about money. I'm not having to put a lot of effort and focus on money. Well, those first four, I'm already there and it's getting better. And that fifth one, I'm on my way, you know. And so everything I thought about had to pass through those five filters, or else it's like, well, no, I'm not going to be excited about doing that, or that's not really aligned with me. So that's a really good question. I feel like I'm feeling it now, and I know it's going to get better and better and better.
That's awesome. That's brilliant. And last question, Paul, can you tell the listeners, where is the best place to find you? I know you write a Substack, a newsletter, but in addition to that, which we'll put the links on the show notes, but talk a little bit about where we can find you online.
Yeah, you can kind of find YouTube. I'm relaunching. So New Way Forward, at New Way Forward on YouTube. You might have to put Paul Long in because there was some, congressional act that it gets confused with. So Paul Long, New Way Forward. That's L-O-N-G. LinkedIn, Paul Long. X, Instagram, and Facebook to a degree. But yes, on Substack. Paul Long, New Way Forward is where you'll see my articles. And I also post a podcast on most of them, a video too. So, it's a smorgasbord. You can listen, watch, or read.
Well, I didn't know that you have a YouTube channel, and now I'm going to find you there.
it's under restoration, but
okay.
Yes,
there.
Watch the birthday. Watch the flipping aging on its head. That's what I was referring to earlier.
Okay, cool.
I
will definitely put, especially that one, that link on
the show notes
for sure. But Paul, I thank you so much, really, for spending time with me, for chatting with me, for all the technology hiccups that we encountered, but just being patient, but just really, just this is brilliant. I love this conversation, and you have to come back. Please, you have to come back.
I absolutely will. And thank you. This was just, it was such a joy to actually directly interact with you and see you. And you made my week.
Thank you.
I want to thank Paul again for sharing his experience and personal story with us. You're going to find all the links on the show notes at secondbreaks.com. Thank you, my dear listener friend, for joining me today. If you liked this episode, please do me a solid and share it with a friend or two. This is going to help me tremendously in growing the podcast and reaching more midlifers. I'll be back in a couple weeks with a new episode that explores how we can best navigate these midlife transitions and grow as we get older. In the meantime, keep on making your day, my friend, and don't forget to subscribe to We're All Getting Older. Okie dokie. Cool beans.